Last week, I dealt with the kind of man every Christian woman needs. So if you know somebody, as I've already stated, and I'm doing this on purpose, who's dating a Christian man or a Christian woman, especially a Christian woman, too, because she needs to know the kind of man that she is going to be dating. Amen? And so you want to make sure that she gets that, too. But I'm just going to rehearse it just a little bit, go over it, review it some, but I'm not going to preach it. I'm just going to give you the points that I went over last week. And I told you, what kind of man was Joseph? And I said, he was a child of God with a relationship with God. I said, secondly, he kept his relationship with Mary clean. And by the way, your relationship should stay clean before you get married and even after you get married. Okay, now. All right, y'all know how we go. Now, if I have to stop and amen myself, it's going to be a little bit longer. Don't leave me up here by myself, amen? I'm trying to help you and your family. He didn't try to destroy her. The third point I said, he didn't try to destroy her when he felt she had hurt him. Then the fourth thing was, he was able to hear from God even when going through a tough time. And then the fifth thing was, he was trustworthy and obedient. Well, again, today I'm not preaching on the kind of man every Christian woman needs, but I'm preaching on the kind of woman every Christian man needs. And so we're looking at Mary and Joseph. There had to be something special about them for God to entrust his son to their care. So now, what kind of woman was Mary? Number one, get this one. She was saved and serious about the Lord. I said she was saved and serious about the Lord. A lot of people claim to be saved, but are they serious about the Lord? That's the kind of woman that every man needs. Notice Luke chapter 1, verse 46 and verse 47. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. In other words, Mary was saved. Now, I'm not going to veer too far off of the path that God has led me down today, but I will say this. When we taught our series on cults and world religions, and we dealt with Roman Catholicism, and if you know anything about Roman Catholicism, they feel like they have to go through Mary in order to get to God. Well, Mary needed a Savior too. She was not sinless. She was born with an Adamic nature, and she needed a Savior just like you and I need a Savior. And praise God, she was a child of God. She was saved. Now, I'm just going to give you some things, and then once I give you some scriptures, then I'm going to come back and put it all together, because you don't even want to think about dating somebody unless they're saved. Yeah. Luke chapter 1, notice verse 49 through verse 55. But see, not only was she saved, but she was serious about the Lord. Notice Luke 1, 49 through 55. It says, for he that is mighty hath done to me, and this is Mary speaking, great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath opened the servant is his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. Mary was serious about the Lord. Understand everything I just read you in that passage. Mary literally understood the holiness of God, the mercy of God, the strength of God, the justice of God, the provisions of God, the works of God, and the word of God. She was serious about the Lord. Notice Luke chapter 2, verse 21 down through verse 24. Luke chapter 2, verse 21 down through verse 24. And by the way, all of those things I just gave you could have been another whole sermon in itself. Luke chapter 2, notice verse 21 down through verse 24. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. But they there refers to Joseph and Mary. As it is written, verse 23, in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. So now understand, Mary now is living her life according to the word of God. What she's doing now, she's doing not on her own. She's doing it in accordance with what God has already outlined in his word for her to do and within the time frame that he has allotted in his word. In other words, she's living by the word. Notice Luke chapter 2 and notice verse 25 down through verse 29. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus, parents, Joseph, Mary, in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Understand what I just read in your hearing. Listen, Mary, now she is being faithful to the house of God. See, Mary is the kind of Christian woman, excuse me, the kind of woman every Christian man needs. She was saved and she was serious. Young man, young adult, the kind of woman that you want to date is a woman who is saved and a woman who is serious about the Lord. You don't even think about dating somebody who's lost. I don't care how popular they are. I don't care how good they look. I don't care. You don't even date somebody. Don't even think about it. When it comes to your mind, erase it, because if you meditate on something long enough, you find a way to justify it. And so you don't even date somebody who is lost. Let me give you some scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Don't turn there. But it says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Amos 3:3 puts it this way. It says, can two walk together except they be agreed? You say, well, preacher, she says she's saved. She says that she believes in God. Well, I want to ask you a question. Do you see some works following? James chapter 2, verse 17, down through verse number 20. Don't turn there. But it says, even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? A lot of people say, oh, yes, I believe in God. But the demons believe in God, the Bible says, and they tremble. Anybody can believe that God exists. But it's another thing to say that God is my Father because I've repented and received Christ as my Savior. See, now God is no longer just the creator of the universe. Now he is your heavenly Father and the one who keeps you. You want somebody who's saved, but you want somebody who's serious. They need to have some works. Matter of fact, if you are saved, you ought to have some works. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works. You can't work your way to heaven, lest any man should boast. You don't work to get to heaven, but what happens after you get saved? What's the next verse saying? Verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that ye should walk in them. Oh, listen to me this morning. You want you a young lady who is saved and who is serious about the Lord. Mary was that kind of woman. She was saved, yes, but she was serious. She understood how holy God was and is. She understood the word of God. She lived by the word of God. She was faithful to the house of God. And if there's a young lady that you're dating and she's not faithful to the house of God, then you better leave her alone. You say, well, I'm strong. I won't get pulled down. There have been men a whole lot stronger than anybody in here who's gotten pulled down by the wrong woman. Am I right about it? There was a young man in the Bible. His name was Solomon. Oh, what a tremendous young man. He was humble. He said, I don't even know how to go out and how to come in. He had to assume the throne of his father, David. And he said, I don't even know how to go out and how to come in. What did he request from God? He requested wisdom. And God says, because you didn't ask for this and this and this and this and this, he said, I'm going to give you this. I'm going to give you wisdom. I'm going to give you all this also. Solomon was that kind of person. But then after a while, Solomon started marrying these strange women. Had 700 wives, 300 Las Vegas extras. Had 700 wives and 300 concubines. He started kissing them goodnight on Monday, and he finished the following Sunday night. Solomon had 1,000, and the Bible says they turned his heart away from God. If you don't get the right person, that person can turn your heart away from God. You're not strong enough to handle some things you think you can. And just because she's pretty and look good, whatever you want to describe her, whatever adjective you want to put towards her, that's not the issue. The issue is she saved? And is she serving? Is she serious? Now, don't misunderstand me. I know that God can give you a pretty girl who's serious about the Lord. I know that. Amen. I know that. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? God can give you one that's pretty and serious about the Lord. But here is the problem, mister. You better make sure you wait and get the right one. Sometimes people will say, listen, they won't tell you nothing, but they'll say, listen, you just better wait. You know what I'm saying? They'll say, you better wait. All I'm saying, you better wait on God. They said a whole lot just by stuttering. What kind of woman was Mary? She was saved and serious about the Lord. Young ladies, as you're getting older and you're getting older and you're getting older, you're going to have those young guys around high school, or if you're in college, or if you're out of college and you're on the workforce, and they're going to be coming around you, and they're going to be trying to compliment you, and they're going to be trying to get you to go out to eat lunch or dinner with them. And I'm going to tell you right now, when they come and say, hey, I want you to do this, you know they're lost. Invite them to church. Give them a gospel tract with the address on the back, and say, you have a GPS? Key it in and come to the house of God. And then don't just wait until they come to the house of God and show up one time and say, oh, praise God, they right. No, they ain't right. You got to see something, amen? See something. She was saved and serious about the Lord. Secondly, what kind of woman was Mary? Secondly, she had respect for her body. She had respect for her body. Notice Luke chapter 1, verse 27 down through verse 34. Luke chapter 1, verse 27 down through verse 34. to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. I didn't read that right. I must have misread that. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. I want to read verse 29, but I got to stop right here. Well, there are a lot of times people start grabbing these little phrases and they get a hold of them. And they like to sling them out there. Like, have a blessed day. Nothing wrong with that. I'm not preaching against that. Nothing wrong with that. But if somebody's not saved, how the blessings going to flow in their life like they need to? Now, by the way, every time we wake up, every morning we wake up and we breathe, that's a blessing. But sometimes we sling those phrases out there, everybody rather save a loss. And then there's another one that I've heard a number of times. People say, I mean, just all over, hey, I'm blessed and highly favored. How many of you ever heard that before? Slip your hand up in the air, all right? Say, hey, Lord, I'm blessed and highly favored. Well, you may be if you live in something. But if you out here just, you know, not living for God and not living right, you can't say, I'm blessed and highly favored. Mary was blessed, it's in there, that verse, and highly favored, but Mary was living something. Let me say this, young ladies, you may have other people out here who are not living right. Young girls, your peers, and some who are even older, and they're not living right, and you're trying to live right, and you're trying to do right. I'll tell you what you do. You just keep right on doing right and watch and see if God's favor does not rest on your life. And watch and see if the blessings don't flow in your life. And when many of them are still running around in circles, you will be going in a straight line with the blessings and favor of God all over your life. That was free. That didn't cost you anything. Notice verse 29. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and shall bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Mary was a virgin and she didn't mind saying she was a virgin. I said last week, if you sinned morally, thank God there is a fountain filled with blood. Thank God 1 John 1:9 is in the Bible. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There can be forgiveness with God, as I said last week. But sometimes you still have to pay the penalty for the sin, but you can still be pardoned for it. But if you have kept yourself, if you have kept yourself, don't you allow other people to make you hold your head down like as if you're some second-class citizen who's not in the know or in the go. Anybody can run around and sleep with guys, but it takes a chaste young woman to say, I'm keeping myself for marriage. I wish we would have people who would preach like this all across our country. It would change a lot of things. And I'm not trying to hurt anybody. All I'm trying to do is try to help. And if you have messed up and you have been immoral, what you must do is get forgiveness from God and then determine from this point on in my life, I'm going to live a clean life. Somebody better say amen right there. Mary had respect for her body. The kind of woman you need, mister, is a woman who respects her body. She's not the kind that wants to take her body and put it out on display and become physical with every guy who comes around. If you got around Mary, you would have known that it was something different about her. And I know this goes against the grain of what we see on television. Because now on television, they're telling the young girls by their lifestyle and by their words that in order to get a man, you've got to uncover and do things that are ungodly. They won't use those words. But thereby, by their action and by some of their words, they will teach you this. Listen to me. Listen to me. Give me a good hearing. Because one of these days, if you don't listen to me, this sermon will be replayed back to your mind. It will. You've got to get to the place to where you say, hey, I'm going to keep myself. And just like Mary did, and sex is a good thing, a beautiful thing, if it is done in the bonds of matrimony between two people who love one another. But anything else is outside of the realm of God's will. And the Bible says marriage is honorable and all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Now, is the Bible right? Then that means that you ought to say, hey, I fear God too much to do something wrong with my body. Don't let people make you feel ashamed. You hold your head up, not in pride, but in confidence of the power of God working in your life to keep you, because you just can't keep yourself. You have to have a will, but you need the strength and the power of God to be able to keep yourself. And Mary, she had respect for her body. Young men, let me give you some good godly advice. Stay away from fast girls. Stay away from fast girls. And you know them? You know them. They're loud. They are. You hear them. They're loud. Stay away from them. They're not going to be dressed right. You know them. A girl who cares and respects her body will cover her body up. You don't need a fast girl running around you. Keep those fast girls away from you. I will tell you something. Fast girls, they're a dime a dozen. They are. They're a dime a dozen. You ever notice some of these, what they call divas? You ever notice how they seem to have problems with relationships? Because they focus too much on the outside. And by the way, you ought to take care of the outside. I'm not saying that. But they focus too much on the outside instead of what's on the inside. And see, when you have a godly man wants a godly woman. And the sad commentary is a lot of ungodly men want a godly woman. But if an ungodly man wants a godly woman, then he ought to get his life transformed through the blood of Christ, live something, and then God can give him the right one instead of trying to pull somebody else down. And just because somebody gives you a compliment, don't let that go to your head. Accept it. Be thankful for it if somebody gives you a compliment, but don't swoon after people. Fast women, dime a dozen. But Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10 says, a virtuous woman, her price is far above rubies. A virtuous woman, that's somebody that is to be treasured. Treasured. That's the kind of woman you want. Mary respected her body. And because of that, she was highly favored and blessed. I've already read the scripture in verse 28. And by the way, God gave her a godly man to date, get engaged to. Betrothed carries more, it's more binding than our engagement, but I'm using it for you to think of it that way, to get engaged to and then to eventually marry. In case you didn't know, all you need is one. Just one. You don't need two. Just one. And God can move heaven and earth to give you the right one. If you're the right person, the kind of woman every Christian man needs. Notice verse 27 of the first chapter. says, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Use the word espouse. Listen, Mary had respect for her body. In other words, she didn't allow her engagement to Joseph to cause her to pull down her standards. It takes two, not one, two. And once she was engaged, it still didn't give her license to say, we're going to be immoral together. You say, preacher, aren't you dealing with some tough subjects? As I told you last week, don't be naive. Young people today know more about what I'm talking about right now. Matter of fact, they know a whole lot more than what I've said from behind this pulpit. I'm talking about kids in the second grade. Amen? Know what I'm talking about. I know the situation. Kids in the second grade know more than what we knew when we were 10 and 11 and 12 years of age growing up. Kids are exposed to more today than we were when we were growing up. And by God's grace, they need to have a place to where they can come and hear somebody who gives a different slant on it from the Word of God. Because if all of you here is, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay, and you've got, I hate to say this, you have some crazy parents out there. And they'll tell their kids, sow your wild oats, just be careful. Last time I checked in the Word of God, you sow, you're going to reap. That's the counsel of Ahithophel. If you don't know it, look up his name and see what's associated with him. If a woman, listen to me, young man, older man alike, if a woman you're dating comes on to you, then that woman is not a Mary. That's not the kind of person you need. The kind of woman every Christian man needs. I said, number one, she was saved and serious about the Lord. That's the kind of woman Mary was. Secondly, she had respect for her body. Respect your body. Cover up your body. Number three, and by the way, this is the last one. Don't put your shoes on, ladies, but this is the last one. She was able to trust God to work things out in her life. Notice Luke chapter 1, verse 30 and verse 31. Notice Luke chapter 1, notice verse 30 and verse 31. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Jesus. Notice verse 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Listen, Mary was able to trust God to work things out in her life. She had to trust God to bring about the miracle of the conception of Christ. She had to yield herself to God, putting him first in her life. In verse 38, even though she knew that she would probably have, and definitely would probably have, some trouble explaining this to Joseph, but yet she wanted the Lord, she wanted God to be number one in her life. And by the way, she didn't tell Joseph initially either. Notice verse 39 through verse number 40. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zechariah and saluted Elizabeth. Once she found out about Elizabeth, she went over. And now she is there with Elizabeth. Look at verse number 46 and verse 47. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Think about this. She was able to trust God enough to where she could rejoice even though she knew she had to face Joseph. 3 months later, she did. Look at verse number 56. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. Here you have a young lady who was able to trust God. Listen, you want a girl who's yielded to God, to the God of heaven, to the place to where she will have him number one in her life. She will put him first in her life, even above you. Nothing comes before the Lord. If somebody is before the Lord, then that's an idol. And what do you do with idols? You destroy idols. Nobody comes before the Lord. Nobody comes before God. And so that means that the kind of girl you want is the kind of girl like Mary, where Mary said, "Be it unto me." She was yielding herself, even though she knew that Joseph would not, or at least would think that Joseph would not understand. And by the way, he didn't. He was going to divorce her. I told you last week, but in case you weren't here, I'm going to read Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 and verse number 19. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." Found with child of the Holy Ghost. "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily." In other words, he was going to divorce her secretively. Remember how I told you how that when you had the betrothal period, they would actually exchange vows, and it was a binding agreement that they had, even though they would not take up residence with one another. Although, of course, they would not be physical with one another until after the marriage ceremony had taken place. But during that betrothal period, it was so binding until the only way to really get out of it would be through divorce, or in Mary's case, then she could have been stoned if they had received permission, of course, because we know they're under Roman rule. And so, but she could have been stoned. So he had this choice. He's trying to, do I make a public example of her? Do I? Or do I just divorce her privately? See, Mary had to have trust in the Lord that everything was going to work out all right. See, when we don't have trust in the Lord, then we start making decisions that we ought not to make. But when we trust the Lord, he can work things out when we are yielded to him. And Mary was yielded to God, and he works some things out. In Matthew 1:20, it says, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." Listen, Mary was able to trust God to work things out in her life. That's the kind of woman that you need. You say, can young women trust the Lord? Oh, you better believe they can. Can young adults in their 20s trust the Lord? Oh, yes, they can. Can some in their 30s trust the Lord? Oh, yes, they can. Can some in their 40s and 50s and 60s trust the Lord? Get what I'm saying? A child of God should be able to trust God, because you had to trust his son to save your soul. And Mary was to the place to where she literally had enough trust in God to where she believed God could work some things out. She didn't understand everything. I know not a man, but I'm trusting you. I am available. I'm trusting you. And she had to trust everything in her life. And by the way, your whole life will be about trust. You've got to trust God to bring you the right one. Trust God to bring you the right one. I need to say that again. I said, trust God to bring you the right one. Then you've got to trust God to keep the relationship right. You do. Because if he goes cuckoo in the head and he starts saying things that aren't right, then you're going to have to trust God enough to walk away from something like that and say, God, you're going to give me something better. Then you've got to trust God. If everything goes right, God sends you someone. You're dating that person. You eventually get engaged to that person. And then you get married to that person. All throughout your marriage, you're going to have to trust God to work things out in your life. If not, your marriage won't last 1 month. You say, now, wait a minute. It'll last more than 1 month. I know what I'm talking about. I could give you an illustration. I won't, but I could. It won't last 1 month if you don't trust God. And I wasn't speaking metaphorically either. Literally. You got to make sure God sends you the right one, mister. And when Miss Short Skirt come around you, don't start saying, you know something? Boy, she looks nice. If I can just get a little bit of length on that skirt, everything's going to be okay. No, you better trust God to do the transforming, amen? And in your marriage, you're going to have to trust God to work things out, because anybody who's been married for any period of time know that things come up in your marriage and you've got to trust God to work it out. And all the married people said, boy, that was the loudest amen I've got all day. You're going to have to trust God to work some things out. So you want those qualities in her now. So you're not the only one trusting, trying to work. Both of you working together trying to trust God. That's the kind of woman that you want in your life. One who can trust God, because you have to trust God in a lot of areas. I hope we'll give the sermon today some attention. Mary is the kind of woman every Christian man needs. She was saved, serious about the Lord, had respect for her body, and was able to trust God to work things out in her life. That's the kind of woman you need. Ladies, that's the kind of woman you need to be. Let's bow for prayer.